Good morning. From the newsroom of the Financial Times, today is Monday, March 18th, and this is your FT News Briefing. Today, Prime Minister Theresa May is expected to table a third vote on her Brexit deal this week. President Emmanuel Macron is under renewed pressure after looters smashed scores of shops and set fire to a restaurant in Paris. And adverse weather and deadly bacteria cause Italian olive oil prices to surge. Then the FT's Olaf Storbeck explains the merger talks between Deutsche Bank and Commerzbank, and the hurdles that still remain before a deal can be made. I'm Eric Krupke, and here's the news you need to start your day. Prime Minister Theresa May is pinning her Brexit deal hopes on winning over the Democratic Unionist Party in last-minute talks today. Members of Northern Ireland's DUP have demanded legally binding changes to the withdrawal agreement. The party's main sticking point is the Irish backstop. Mrs. May's allies believe that if she can get the DUP to back the deal, it would persuade rebel Tory Eurosceptics to fall in line and allow her to go ahead with a third vote this week. Downing Street confirmed that members of the government would continue to talk to the DUP today. It said the government won't hold a new vote until they have a, quote, high degree of confidence in winning it. In the Sunday Telegraph, Mrs. May wrote that a failure to support the deal would mean, quote, we will not leave the EU for many months, if ever. On Thursday, Mrs. May is expected to go before the EU Council to ask for an extension to the exit process. The EU is expected to agree to an extension, but it's still unclear for how long and with what conditions. French President Emmanuel Macron is under new pressure after another weekend of anti-government protests erupted. Looters smashed scores of shops and set fire to a restaurant in central Paris. Mr. Macron was forced to cut short a skiing holiday and return to the capital. Police made nearly 240 arrests during the unrest. 80 shops and restaurants were burned, looted, or vandalized. In total, an estimated 32,000 protesters marched throughout France on Saturday, including 10,000 in Paris. It's the 18th consecutive Saturday of demonstrations by the Gilets Jaunes. The movement began as online protests against rising fuel taxes, but it's quickly morphed into a revolt against higher taxes, declining living standards, and the president himself. In December, Mr. Macron announced a 10 billion euro package of economic measures to defuse the protests. And in January, he began a countrywide tour to hear the French people's grievances. The continued demonstration suggests Mr. Macron's so-called national debate has failed to defuse public anger. And the price of premium Italian olive oil has surged. Production in 2018 was half of what it was in 2017. That's because of a deadly tree disease and unseasonal frosts. Some of the country's olive growers have even been forced to abandon their farms as a result. While Spain is the world's largest olive oil producer, Italian extra virgin olive oil has always been at a premium price. But in February, Italian extra virgin olive oil prices averaged almost 6,000 euros a ton. That's 37% higher than a year earlier and more than double the price of Spain's. One analyst told the FT that production in Italy has been extremely volatile in recent years. Over the past 5 years, a combination of the untreatable disease, adverse weather, and pests have led to three big crop failures in Italy. Olive farmers from across Italy took to the streets of Rome last month demanding state aid. Leaders of olive growers' associations are negotiating with Rome for aid, as well as funds for research into bacteria that has killed millions of olive trees. And here's a closer look at one of today's big stories. Deutsche Bank and Commerzbank have formally opened talks on a controversial merger. If a deal is made, it would reshape Germany's financial sector and create the Eurozone's second largest lender by assets. On Sunday, the senior management of Germany's two largest listed lenders said they'd begun exploratory talks. The FT's Frankfurt correspondent Olaf Storbeck explains what a deal would look like and lays out some potential setbacks for that deal.
So the deal is met by stiff opposition from unions, which, as in most German companies, represent half of the supervisory board members of both companies. And the supervisory board needs to approve a deal. In theory, the chairman who has a casting vote can overrule union opposition, provided the shareholder side is unanimously backing the deal. But for now, large shareholders of Deutsche Bank, five of the six largest shareholders to be precise, are quite skeptical that a merger makes sense at that point in time, as Deutsche Bank has to do a lot of own restructuring work still. And the fear is that a merger might distract management from actually executing on these other issues which need to be sorted out internally at Deutsche Bank.
And why are they receiving union pushback? Are they expecting job losses?
Yes. So as in any domestic banking merger, most of the cost benefits would come from cost cuts, and which actually mean job cuts, because both banks domestically in Germany in retail banking and in commercial lending have quite a large overlap, and also in overhead functions like HR and other stuff, IT. So the estimates are as high as 30,000 jobs out of 140,000 of combined pro forma employees of both banks at the moment would have to go, which is quite a large number, as it's quite costly in Germany to fire people, and it's normally done kind of in a non-controversial way, trying to get unions on board, union approval for this. It's normally a rather lengthy and also quite a costly process to get rid of that many workers. It's also a politically controversial point, especially as the finance ministry is run by a social democrat. His party is losing in the opinion polls already and at historic lows, and kind of a political debate about major job cut in banks due to a merger which was partly engineered by the government is a politically highly sensitive topic in Germany.
What has the German government said about the potential deal?
Well, in public, the government has only said that they think Germany needs a globally competitive and successful strong bank, which can basically service the country's export-led economy, and that they are concerned that over the last decade since the financial crisis, German banks have lost ground and are just not strong enough to successfully support the economy. Behind closed doors, especially in discussions with the banks involved, the government at least has made clear that they would not block any deal. And the amount of actual government pressure is a bit open to debate. There are people who say that basically the German government established a deadline and basically said, well, look, we are the biggest shareholder in Commerzbank, and if Deutsche Bank doesn't get engaged into a merger with Commerzbank, now the government would basically look for a foreign buyer for Commerzbank. There are other people who dispute this version of events, so it's not really easy to say to what degree the government is really forcing this to happen, but it's definitely clear that they are very open and very welcoming for this merger to happen.
And what are analysts saying about the deal?
Well, on paper, in spreadsheet land, as analysts call it, the deal would generate about 2 billion, maybe some analysts say a little bit more, 2.3 billion of annual cost synergies, because of, well, getting rid of duplicate functions and closing branches, sacking people, sacking employees. And also, over time, this could generate some funding cost benefits for Deutsche Bank, because Commerzbank has quite a lot of retail deposits, which, well, are quite stable and quite cheap relative to other sources of funding. So this could also add about 300 million of annual cost benefits on top of the other cost synergies already mentioned. On the other hand, the bank would definitely lose some revenue because of an overlap in clients, especially in commercial clients who both bank with Deutsche and Commerz at the moment, and would look to diversify their banking relationships if both merged. Analysts estimate that around 1 billion, maybe 1.5 billion in annual revenues would drop away. The other thing to keep in mind is that initially the banks had to spend about 4 billion euros, so basically twice the annual cost synergies, on execution costs and implementation costs. In the short term, it's a costly thing. In the long term, if you get the implementation right, which is a big if, it's beneficial.
You can read more on all of these stories at FT.com. Today we'll be watching for any developments in Downing Street's negotiations with the DUP to see if Prime Minister Theresa May can secure the votes for her Brexit deal. This has been your daily FT News Briefing. Make sure you check back tomorrow for all the latest business news.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The latest episode of The Next Five podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of The Next Five wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.